Hello, my name's Mike Talty. I work for Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of short screencast videos trying to provide a little bit of a tour of the networking stack in Silverlight, and specifically Silverlight 4. And even more specifically, the Silverlight 4 beta. So there's some things that may not work, or we have to talk around a workaround because it's a beta, but we'll do that when we get to them. It's worth saying that Silverlight applications are browser-initiated and often are running within the web browser and need lots of connectivity options. So the networking stack is kind of key, and it has lots of capabilities, so I wanted to try and explore that a little bit. I'm also using here Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2, so it's worth being aware of that. And I want to try and keep these videos as short as possible, so I won't add lots of extra things here. And what we'll do is we'll just build up a list of where we've been, and each video will follow on from the previous one, so you do kind of need to watch the videos in order. But maybe you'll get something by just jumping into the middle of one. So let's start off by looking at HTTP, HTTP being probably the most common protocol in the world these days. And what we'll do here in video one, let's just do a simple HTTP GET and download some XML with it or something like that. Then perhaps we'll do something more advanced later on. Okay, so let's go ahead and spin up Visual Studio. I'm running this as administrator so that I can open websites via IIS. And let's go ahead and do File, Open Website. I've already got one on my machine called Videos, and I think it's just a blank website. So at the moment, there's really nothing in that right now. Let's go to the solution and add a new thing. Let's say, let's go and add a Silverlight application. So do New Project, and we'll just go and add a Silverlight application. I'll stick it into C:temp, and we'll call it Video Project, something like that. And that's fine. And let's not host this right now, and we'll just OK that. I'll set up that hosting now, so let's just do this way. Let's go to the website we've got, let's add its property pages. Let's tell it that we want it to host that Silverlight application, but I don't want it to go in a client bin folder, which is why I dismissed the previous dialogue. And the rest of that stuff is just fine, so let's go and OK all that. And so now we have that website referencing that Silverlight project, and I'm going to get rid of this ASPX page just for clarity, and set this page here as the start page, so that's kind of normal. Now, back on that site, let's just create a new folder. Let's just say add a folder, I'll call it Files, and into there I'm going to put an XML file that I've already got. I'm not going to type in an XML file in the video. And so let me just paste that file in here, pasting it. It's called posts.xml. If we take a quick look at posts.xml, it's an XML file that's kind of been cribbed from an RSS feed, so it kind of came off my own website. You've got this root element here called posts, and then you've got post, 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 and each post has a title, a pub date, and a description, so it's pretty kind of simple stuff. Let's go to our Silverlight project and add a class that kind of represents that. So let's just go and add a class over here we'll call post. Let's just let the dialog spin up, post.c#, and we'll have a class post which kind of mirrors that structure. So we'll have a property which will be a string for the title. We'll have a property which is a string for a description, and we'll have a property which is a date time for the pub date, something like that. So it kind of matches that thing that we just saw a second ago. Okay, cool. So I need a little bit of UI in my Silverlight project over here, and I don't want to type in a whole bunch of XAML in this video, so let me just paste some XAML in here as well. So let's get rid of this grid, and I'll just paste some stuff in here. And basically what we just pasted in there was the fact that we wanted a list box which is bound to a property called posts, and then on a per item basis it's simply displaying a text blocks with the title, which is data bound, the description, which is data bound, and the date, which is data bound. But we just called our property pub date, so let's do it that way. And then we've got a button that gets the data. It's got a handler behind it to get the data, which we haven't written yet. In fact, I suppose what we could do is visit the code behind, and I will work in the code behind here. And let's just put an event handler on there called onGetData. And let's set up one or two other things. We probably, because of the way that XAML is written, we want to have a data context set for it. So let's just say this dot loaded. So when this page is loaded, let's just add an event handler which sets that data context. So we'll say this dot data context equals this. So we're going to use this instance itself as the data context. And onto that now, we need a property called post. So let's go and write one of those very quickly. Let's have a private field, IEnumerable of post, which we'll call posts. And then we'll have a public property. So we'll have public IEnumerable of post, which we'll call posts with a capital P. And say get can just return this dot post, and we can say set, set this dot post equals value. And just to be I guess more complete, I want to implement property change notification. Let's implement iNotify property changed, and we'll just do that by bringing in the namespace, implementing the interface, which just gives us this one event down here to fire. And let's just go and put that up there. And probably I can get away with, in my setter here, just saying if property changed is not null, then fire property change from this object with a new property changed event args called posts. That's probably good enough for what I need here. So let me collapse down that property now, assuming we did that okay. And let me collapse down that constructor, assuming we did that okay. And now we've just got our onGetData. Okay, so there's a couple of classes you can use to get data over HTTP, and the simplest one is called Web Client. And so we can use that here. We can go and say, let's make a web client. We'll say client equals new one of those. And having got this, there's again a couple of ways you can use it for doing an HTTP get. One of the things you can do is use this method here called download string async, and that will get you the contents of whatever you're downloading as a string, as the name kind of suggests. It'll also work asynchronously, and it's worth saying that asynchronous work is how you always work in Silverlight on the network. That's by design. It's not something that you're meant to try and work against. It's something you're meant to try and work with. When the download string async is completed, you'll get an event for download string completed. You can also go and get the contents of whatever you're downloading as a stream. And so down here we've got another method called openReadAsync, and that will actually give you back a stream rather than a string. And when that's completed, you'll get an event openReadCompleted. So I'm going to go via that route. Let's go and do openReadAsync. And what I want to do is get hold of, let's just construct a URI here. It was filesPost.xml, and that is a relative URI. Okay. We could also pass state at that point as well, by the way, so there's an overload that will let us pass some state across there if we wanted to. When we say relative URI here, that's relative to where the Silverlight application came from, or you can go and specify a base address. Oops, I've missed it there, base address, and then it would be relative to that, so it's kind of up to you as to how you do that. As we said, once that open read is completed, you'll get an event, open read completed, which we could handle here. I'll just do it inline. And at the point where we get that back, we get an event args class that's derived ultimately from the async completed event args, and this one is called an open read completed event args. So because of its derivation, we can always go and say if e dot, we can check, was the async thing cancelled? Did it have an error? Can we get the state that we passed? In our case, we didn't actually pass any, but if we passed some, we could get it back here. And then the special bit about this is being able to get hold of the result, which, as you can see, is a stream. So we can say here, oh, you know, if not e.cancelled and e.error equals null, then do something. Otherwise, we've got an error. Often that error will be a web exception, but not always. So we could say web exception, let's call it web. X equals e.error as web exception, and then we could say if web X is not null, then we could do something with that. And we'll come back and look at that in a second. But let's assume that things work for the moment, and what we've then got is e.result, which is a stream. So we want to turn that back into XML. There's a number of options around that here. You could go ahead and use something like the XML serializer, and you could go and use something like the data contract serializer. So those are both valid options if you wanted to treat this as a stream of objects and deserialize it that way. If you want to use more of an XML approach to it rather than an object serialization approach, then the XML API in Silverlight is linked to XML, so we could use that here as well. So we could say something like XElement, and that comes from linked to XML, so we're going to have to go and add a reference. Let's go and add a reference to... just find system.xml.link. Okay, so now we've got XElement, and we can just resolve that namespace. Let's say XML equals XElement.load, I think it's called. You can see we can give this a string or a stream. So we've got a stream, so that's e.result. That's great. And then we can reach into that finding those posts. So we can say query equals from post in XML.load. Descendants and self called post. That's all the elements we're interested in. And then we need to select a new post. What I'll do actually is I'll select post dot, let's say from X element, and I'll pass it that post element. And let's just make Visual Studio create that... let's just make it create that stub for us over on the post side. We'll implement that in a second. And then having got that query back, I guess we can just say this.posts equals query. Now, it's worth saying that when you are using Web Client this way, you are back... your invocation is back on the UI thread. So we're actually back on the UI thread here, and we don't have to worry about any kind of funny threading issues. Now, what did I do wrong here? Because it thinks it's an IEnumerable of object. Let's go and fix that. It's not. So we want this thing here to return a post, not an object. That'll fix that error that we just had over there. And let me just shorten down this namespace stuff over here so that we can see that better. Okay, so what I want to do is create a post. So let's just say return a new post. And on that post, what we want is we want the title to be equal to string post.element called, I think it's called title. Let's just say .value. And we want the description to be equal to string post.element. I think in the XML it's called description again. .value. And finally we want the pub date to be equal to... I don't know if we can just do a direct cast here, so I'll do a datetime.parse. Datetime.parse. And we'll give it string post.element. I think we called it pub date in the XML.value. Let me just check what that XML looks like. So... title, pub date, description looks reasonable, so we've probably got that rightish. Let's go build that code. Oh, I just inserted a backslash where I didn't mean to. Let's go build that code. And we're missing a brace somewhere. Fine. Let's build it again. And let's see if we can spin that up and get some data from it. Okay, so we spin up that page, we click the Get Data button, and we get some data back. So great. So we can use something like Web Client very, very simply to go and download data. Where's my code? There it is. Come here. Let's just get to that code. So we can use something like Web Client very, very quickly in order to get hold of that. And it's kind of simple in terms of being able to do that. Okay, so let's keep this particular screencast focused onto that one thing. And there's lots and lots of things that we could talk about here. This all seems deceptively simple, but there's quite a lot more that we can put into this. Let's come back in the next screencast and look at how we can work with some different data serialization formats before taking things further. So let's just close all this stuff down, and we'll come back again.